So today, I'd like to explore and discuss about what would it mean to follow God's lead. Like persons like Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, King David, King Solomon, all the prophets. Well, if you put one commonality among all of them, they were following God's lead. Now, if you were to ask, did they have all wonderful life? Not really. Was their life all full of glory and honor? Not really true either. They had their ups and downs. Like King David, for instance, he probably had the most dramatic life you can find in the whole Bible. He was a young boy, was picked, anointed. He was a friend of Saul king's son, Jonathan. But Saul was trying to kill him, but Jonathan saved him. And then married to Saul's daughter later and became the general. And then exiled again. And he kind of faked like he's silly and gone out of mind before a Philistine king because he was running away from Saul. And then he created a bandit or a group of soldiers, warriors. And you see, he was kind of runaway outlaw for a while. And then he became the king. But then his son rebelled against him. And, you know, he had probably most dramatic life. Also, he fell in with a woman, but she was married, right? So what did he do? He assigned to be her husband to be killed in the battlefield. But then they have first child, but he dies. So why am I saying and bringing this up is that following the lead that God shows to you may or may not be really good life that the world would praise about. You may not get the riches. You may not get everything that is the way you like it. You may not get things even the way that is really well and fine. Sometimes there's a struggle, trouble, problem. So you'd ask then, why would I follow that? So there are about three different ways to kind of approach this. I wouldn't say it an answer. Probably my answer to myself that I'll share with you. Because your answer should be different. The first thing that helped me about that is it helped me to accept the life that I am having as it is. It is a mixture of blessing and other. I wouldn't say curse, but challenge would be a good word. And there are things going well, there are things not going well. Things are happening the way I want it to be, and some are not. And these are combining all this together is my life. And the word I'm saying is not acknowledging it, understanding it, or seeing it in a better way. Simply saying, accepting it as it is. Because the truth to me is that there are things that I can't change as life brings to me. And to a degree, I need to accept it. And that's very helpful because the second one is that something happens to us, or life goes strange, or even life goes really well to you. Let's do the positive side. Life goes really well to you. Everything's going exactly the way you like it. You're thriving, you're successful. Then there's warning. And all ancient sages kind of give warning for that kind of life too. You know what that is? You may be becoming narcissistic. Or egotistic. That your self kind of pride goes higher than anything else. you may see other people inferior than you, which is spiritually very dangerous. So understanding, accepting life as it is, kind of puts mind in a position that I can also see things going in somewhat way, not a personal way. So next step that I could share with you is that I don't take anything personally, if that makes sense. Like, one example could be, our son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes last year, and I was in the hospital with him for 2 days. I never said a word about why me, why my son. Only thing I was asking God is, God, would you cure it? And I didn't get the answer. But the answer I got at the end of the 2 days was that he will have a good life. And that was good enough. So I didn't, and we talked about it with my wife and I, and the path we chose is that let's not take it personally. Let's not spend any of our time be angry or be worried about things that we don't have any control. Let's just focus on what we have and what we can do. And the rest of the time, let's have good time. Because at any moment you spend in that way, that much of time is gone. I would not say wasted, but it's just gone. You have limited time here. Our life is temporary. And I wouldn't say life is easy and all good, because my life hasn't been that way. But that doesn't mean it was bad either. I had a good life, I could say that. I'm having a good life. So what it means to me is that, like, we get angry, upset sometimes, or disappointed. Like, it happens, actually. My enlightening moment happened was with actually my wife. We just got married, and we had big fights in the beginning, and that was after fifth fight. She's upstairs and I'm downstairs, and I was sitting in the couch and thinking, and I took a deep breath, and as you know, I meditate, so I actually did meditation about a couple of minutes, clearing my mind, and I prayed. And I kind of suddenly received this insight that it's so, in a way, wasteful that we're spending this moment, this time, being somehow upset and angry at each other. Because truthfully, I really love her. And I was pretty sure that she loves me too. We're just married. So then what is it that is causing all this? And that was that my own issue of trying to control her. And then her own issue of, defending herself, and also she has her life too, right? So two different lifestyles kind of crashing to each other. So after that, actually, we didn't really have a big fight. We have some small fights here and there, as we all do. So, yes, again, the first is accept life as it is. The second is somewhat, you be comfortable with that. And if you are willing, you could choose yourself, not fake way, you don't fake it, or you don't mask it. You acknowledge all the hard things and challenges in your life, yet you focus on the way you can still have a joy, a delight, with gratitude, because life is precious. And each moment you have with each other, it's an amazing thing. Right? Now, third one, I'm not sure I got there or not. Third is somewhat actually, truthfully following the Lord fully. You see the bigger picture. You see yourself as just one out of 7 billion, or is it 6.6 billion? I'm not sure. You see the big picture. And suddenly you realize what you're struggling is very small in that context. And God may have a bigger plan for you that does not really kind of entangle you in this life, this world. You may be a bigger being. You may be angel in training. You are spirit that has a body, not the other way around. So in this John, Jesus is saying, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. This is the key point. We say a lot about, I love you, that's why I'm telling you this thing you should do, or this is all of love. I'm pushing you, I'm pulling you. But what Jesus is saying is that just as I have loved you, that way you love each other. If we could do that, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is where listening comes in. So following God's lead, how do you do that? I think this is something that sometimes you just feel like you are facing a wall. So where do I begin? Right? Where do you begin? First thing is listening. Listening is an amazing thing, actually. Because if you're listening, if you go in any group and don't talk like first half time and listen to everybody talking, then you start talking, believe it or not, people will listen to you by simply doing that. Without doing anything else. But by listening to everybody else first, well, you know who they are. Not a bad way, a good way. Listening to God, how would you do that? You listen to love, actually. What you love, the love that comes to you, a love that you feel within yourself, a love that is present around you. And how would you listen to that? Well, in that case, we have to somehow empty our ego a little bit. Our selfishness a little bit. Our self-centeredness a little bit. Make this pathway so we clean our spiritual ear. We can actually listen to it. Right? Because that was pretty surprising that if you want to cross over your opinion to somebody else, which we call communication, right? 45%, the best way is by listening, not speaking. How is it possible? Well, by listening, you know, well, what the other person is. Also, you know who you are. And actually, in a practical way, you can prepare better. And spiritually, by listening, you become calmer. As if you listen. And it's not hearing. Hearing and listening are two different things. Right? Often, we're confused. You have 2 ears, you hear everything that the other person says. So you say, I listened to you. No, you heard that person. You didn't listen to the person yet. Listening means you empty out your brain. You're not preparing to respond right now. Okay? You're not trying to counterattack that. You're not analyzing it. You're not judging it even. You are carefully listening to what this person is saying and trying to understand with the best intention possible why this person is saying this to you. That's listening. So listening to love. Kind of same thing. It's not about listening to things that what I like, well, things that delight me only. It is about listening to the things that make us happy, or in a better way, Jesus' way, make you happier. And in a way, that's what Jesus' way is, right? The way Jesus has loved people. It was more like giving his to others. Willing to have a little sacrifice on my side. So if I can make you happier. So, following God's lead. I wish you open your spiritual ears, clean that out, and not hearing it. Because if you read the scripture, you listen to me, these are all hearing it. Listening it means deeply contemplating, and the word probably with the mindfulness, you try to really understand the intention of it. Why? Then do it in a loving way. So may God bless you all in your listening to God's voice and doing what you love to one another. Amen.